This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what a beautiful day. Opening day for baseball in Kansas City. Still waiting on a TV deal. Of course, we'll tell you when we hear anything. Also, Cavaliers back in action. So nice double dip today. And pro days abound. We've got all sorts of rumors swirling about the NFL.
I was just going to say, DirecTV does have a channel listed.
Oh, they do?
662.
Oh, I didn't see it.
They also say that Tristan McKenzie's a starting pitcher, so I don't know how much you want to take.
Take that for what it's worth. Yeah. Beautiful. What a great time to bring in Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She'll also be down in Florida for the owners' meetings. Is that in Palm Beach, Mary Kay?
Yes, it is in Palm Beach, so looking forward to that. The weather forecast looks a little bit rainy, but we will be inside most of the time anyway. So we will make do.
And you'll get a chance to talk to the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam. First chance that anybody will get to have him on record after the Myles Garrett saga finally came to an end, Mary Kay. I know you're looking forward to that.
Yes, absolutely. So we will have a sit down with Dee and Jimmy Haslam at some point. And when I say we, I mean the local Browns beat writers that will be going down there. And it's usually about five or six of us. And then we will have a similar sit down with Andrew Berry. So these are unique opportunities to talk to these people in that small setting without the rest of the world around, and get to ask them pretty much anything that we want. So that's great. And then we'll have Kevin Stefanski at the coach's breakfast on Monday, and then the following day, you can talk to NFC coaches. So it's really a wealth of information down there. I always look forward to it, and the content coming out of there should be pretty good.
When is the gala?
The gala is Monday night, so we need the rain to hold off. That is one of the best things of the year for they allow our little NFL reporters.
It's unbelievable.
Mingle with the billionaires and the coaches and the GMs. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's a party like you cannot even imagine. It's usually out on a lawn. It's just, and it is just what you would expect from a bunch of billionaires.
The NFL is the most buttoned up league of all of them, but when it opens, it really opens because the other sports don't have anything like that. It's that first time I went to that gala, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, there's Robert Kraft with his 17-year-old girlfriend. And there, Bill Belichick will be this year with his 22-year-old girlfriend.
Speculation.
Wait a second.
18 in a day.
And
sorry.
You know you're just 3 miles away from
Jason Lloyd that said that.
You're 3 miles away from Mar-a-Lago, Mary Kay. So who knows what you could be doing for entertainment coming up this weekend. All right, Mary Kay with us right now. So you've been all over it. The Jimmy Haslam, Andrew Berry, their special workout. So I was curious why they didn't just go and have their special workout after the pro day for Cam Ward down in Miami, and then allowing them to go up to Ohio State for the big pro day that everybody seemed to be at yesterday. So obviously they had representatives at both. Could you describe maybe the logic and what the Browns were trying to accomplish?
Well, I just think that they want to really spend as much quality time as they possibly can with a few of their top prospects. So they're going to do these private workouts with Shador, with Cam. I'm sure they'll probably do one with Travis and Abdul. I don't know who's on the list anymore. Maybe after we talk to them this weekend. But they want to spend that one-on-one time and really, really get to know these top prospects, because that they're putting a huge emphasis on how the quarterback in particular is going to be the face of the franchise and the leader of this football team. This team has been through a lot with quarterbacks in recent years. Well, of course, since they've come back since 1999, but you just go from Johnny Manziel to Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson. So they want to make sure that they get it right from a culture fit, and that's why they're doing this. As far as why they didn't just do it surrounding the pro day, well, I think he also had been meeting with the Titans right around then too. So you schedule it the way that you can do it, and they're kind of going outside the box a little bit, and I really have no problem with that.
Mary Kay, we played the clip earlier of Adam Schefter. I know you heard it about him talking about the Titans are basically saying they're open to listening on offers for the first pick. That tells me that the first pick is for sale. Whether or not a team wants to pay the price to come up and get it is a different conversation. But I read that as they're not sold on Cam as the quarterback. And frankly, why should they be? Their coaches have a little bit more security and their front office has a little bit more security than the teams drafting at 2 and 3. Do you think I'm way off on that, or do you think there's something to it?
Well, there's a lot of gamesmanship, as we know, that happens at this time of year. But if they are saying that they are open to that, and many teams do at this time of year say that they're open to trading the number one pick, a lot of teams will do that. But I do think that they are open for business, and I think that teams should make them an offer that they can't refuse if they want Cam Ward. And I really do think that the Browns should be one of those teams. If they love Cam Ward and they have him ranked significantly ahead of Shador or any other quarterback, then they should absolutely do whatever it takes to get him. It doesn't matter what happens in the draft the next year or the next year after that if you have your franchise quarterback. They're elusive. They're hard to find. If you feel like you have one within your grasp and within your reach, then you go for it and you be aggressive and you do whatever it takes to get him.
Are you getting a gut instinct at all on what they think the gap is between Cam Ward and Shador Sanders and how that would really impact their plans at number two overall?
No, I don't have a great handle on that yet, because at this time of year, even the teams at the top who are trying to get other clubs to come up and maybe give them something are going to put out a lot of misinformation. We're going to be hearing, and you guys are already seeing it. I mean, there are so many things swirling around the Browns. Oh, they're taking Abdul Carter. They're taking Shador. They're trading down. They're not going to go quarterback at number two, right? We've heard all of this within the last couple of weeks, and some of it comes from within the team itself. That's just how this works. They know how to create all kinds of confusion surrounding their pick. So even if someone is so confident that they had a good source inside the organization that told them something, they can almost guarantee it's a lie. I mean, at this time of year, that's what happens. You do what you have to do. All is fair in love and draft. It doesn't matter what anybody's telling you. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. So no, I don't know exactly how they have these quarterbacks ranked. And we aren't going to know until they tell us on draft night, Shador was always our guy and dating all the way back since he was born and, you know, Deion was changing his diaper, we knew that he was our guy. I mean, right?
Yeah. That's how it goes. No, I said that earlier. I think the Browns have done a great job of spinning everyone because there's no two stories seem to align these days on what they're thinking, and that's probably how it should be. But I do wonder, I think that this draft could have a lot of volatility to it just because there doesn't seem to be any sort of consensus on the rankings of these quarterbacks. I just feel like something's going to happen, or two or three somethings are going to happen on draft night where we all sort of stand up and say, wow, nobody talked about that. We didn't see that coming.
Well, I think what we have seen over the years is the quarterback who is believed to be the best in the class doesn't always turn out to be the best in the class. It happens time and time again. So there are going to be some diamonds in the rough in this class, I believe, and someone is going to be the team viewed as the smart team that got it right. And who that's going to be, it's impossible to predict at this point because there are so many variables of what makes a quarterback succeed in the NFL, including the environment that you bring them into, the supporting cast that you surround them with, and all of those kinds of things. But there, it's almost guaranteed that there's a sleeper somewhere in here, and we don't know who it is and who's going to win that lottery. We'll have to see how that goes.
Mary Kay Cabot with us right now on the hotline. What did you make of the pursuit of Russell Wilson, the meeting that they had with him, and how he is signing with the Giants, not the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think he had more of a starting opportunity probably with the Giants, and he had been interested in the Giants before, and I'm sure it also came down to money. They gave him the $10.5 million for this year, and that can increase to $21 million, and he probably really felt that he had more of an opportunity to start there, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. But the Browns, I think, are pretty sure to end up with their quarterback of the future out of this draft. I still, that's where my head is still at, and I'm going to try to stick to that and block out most of the noise and think, okay, the Browns have the number two overall pick. They need a quarterback. Somehow they have to get this figured out. I think that it was probably pretty clear to Russell that if he did win the starting job, that it could be short-lived. And I'm sure also maybe the Giants came through with more money.
Is there? I know the Kirk Cousins thing is out there. It's too messy to even really pick apart. Is there anyone else out there for the veteran market outside of him to pursue? I know the Carson Wentz names comes up. Or is it going to be Kenny Pickett and two young kids?
Well, I still think that they probably will end up with another veteran somehow. And sometimes after the draft, things get shaken up even a little bit more and someone becomes available or someone asks for a trade. So at that after that point, Kirk Cousins will probably waive his trade clause, and then we'll see if he is a possibility for them. But if he's going to cost a bunch of money and you have to give up draft capital for him, I don't know if that's as attractive to you right. as it was when he was going to be $1.255 million for
totally
the year.
Totally agree.
Right? So I just don't know if they're going to do that. I think they are planning with an eye towards the future now, and I think this year is going to be about getting their rookie quarterback as much playing time as they possibly can.
Mary Kay, do you think that the handling of the Kirk Cousins situation there in Atlanta threw a wrench in the offseason plans for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think their plans were always to acquire some kind of veteran bridge quarterback. That's still out there and available. Not that there are many left. We've got Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco. I mean, they could end up with one of those guys still. Maybe Kirk Cousins, but again, that's getting a little complicated. So the plan was always veteran and then a young developmental veteran. That's Kenny Pickett. And then your rookie. So I don't think the strategy has changed. And I think once we see how this plays out over the next few weeks, it'll make more sense.
All right, Mary Kay, it's just off-season odds, so you still have a draft, which is pretty big, and some potential free agency moves. But right now, the Browns are pretty much the bottom of the NFL, 4.5 wins on some of these sites. I mean, Myles Garrett, he told everybody all the issues with the Browns, and of course he ends up re-signing with them for the big contract. But what do you think Miles thinks of just this state of affairs? He's got his money now, so I don't think we're going to hear from him again about it. But what do you think he truly believes about the state of affairs?
Well, he seemed to think that they had some kind of a quarterback plan. Joel Bitonio seemed to think that they had some kind of a good quarterback plan. So we don't know exactly what that is yet. And what it better be is the fact that they think Shador or another rookie quarterback can come in here and win games for them in 2025. That's got to be the plan, because I don't see what else it is right now, unless they do think that there is a veteran that can hold down the fort for them for a while. I don't know. I think they must believe that a rookie can get the job done to a degree. Now, if you add a good quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over, if you add a good running back, and this is a good deep running back draft, if they have a running game again, that's going to help everyone. So remember, they turned the ball over more than anyone in the NFL last season. It was ridiculous, or tied, I think. They either tied with the Titans or they had the most with 34. And then they didn't take the ball away. And when you are down in the bottom of the barrel in the turnover differential, you're not winning. So if they can solve those two problems right there, you're already up to 7-8 victories. And then you add a few more key pieces, and who knows, maybe you could even possibly flirt with a wild card spot as you get into December. Maybe that's a pipe dream, but if you can land some kind of a quarterback that can go out there and get the job done way better than what's been happening lately, then I think they can be in business.
When do you think Nick Chubb, I'm not saying in Cleveland, just in general, when do you think Nick Chubb signs?
I think maybe after the draft, when people start to see what they need at the running back position. And again, the door is not slammed shut on Nick Chubb coming back. It's just the fact that they do need to have some kind of a role for him, because you don't want to be making him inactive every single week. Are fans going to be happy about that if Nick Chubb can't even make the game day roster? And would Nick be happy about that? That's what they don't want to happen. If they have a role for him, then they will bring him back here. But they wanted to give him an opportunity to see if he could find something out there where someone had a place for him on their football team and would have carries for him. If they find carries for him, they will bring him back.
Mary Kay, enjoy the gala. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mary Kay, going to the owners' meetings. Interesting time there. A lot of news always comes out of those owners' meetings, and the chance to catch up with Jimmy Haslam. Right now, they are definitely projecting some sense of confidence about this offseason, in which it seems like everybody outside of Cleveland is down on the Browns and their situation, even after the Miles signing.